So traditionally, when I preach Confirmation Sunday, I like to stand right in front of the confirmation class so I can look them in the eye. Good morning, guys. How are y'all today? Good. Good, Mr. Christopher. Good, Pastor. Good, Christopher. Okay. Did you enjoy breakfast? Yeah? Fantastic. Well, it is good to see all of you today in worship. And it's wonderful to see our whole church family turn out for this service. And it's wonderful to see other young people from our church and our youth choir lending their voices to worship today too. So it is great to be here together in the house of the Lord today. Amen and amen to that. You're going to hear me read right now, church and confirmation class, about something that Jesus said that I think is one of the most important things that he said. And it's going to pick right up on Psalm 23. Psalm 23 starts how, guys? The Lord is my shepherd, right? And you're going to hear Jesus call himself the good shepherd here. And we hope as you hear that, you can see that we've got a theme going, and maybe I can preach a little bit about that too. So listen to these words from John chapter 10. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. For I have received this commandment from my Father." These words, beautiful words from Psalm 23, and I would say beautiful words from John 10. They are for us this day, on this Shepherd Sunday, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know a lot about sheep. I really don't. We don't have that many sheep in America, but if you ever go to a country like New Zealand or Scotland or Wales is part of Great Britain, part of the United Kingdom. If you go to Australia even, I think, they have more sheep than people. So there are a lot of sheep in the world. Did you know, confirmation class, that the word shepherd appears in the Bible more than 60 times? And the word lamb or sheep appears in the Bible more than 300 times. The good kings in the ancient world, they were called shepherds of their people. The bad kings were often called something else. If you can go back way into the book of Exodus, what was Moses doing when he heard the burning bush? He was shepherding. He was tending the flock. King David, the ancestor of Jesus, the king of Israel, he was the youngest of his father's sons. And back then, when you were the youngest child in a family, guess what your job at the family was? Go out and take care of the sheep. You were on the shepherding crew until you grew up a little bit. The point is that sheep and shepherd are everywhere, Jesus even going so far to be often being referred to as the Lamb of God. And today, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. Oh, one more thing. You remember the Christmas story? Did angels talk to kings or to fancy ladies? No. The angels talk to shepherds. sheep and shepherd are everywhere. And the metaphor that we get from Psalm 23, which is beautiful, and the metaphor that Jesus uses here in saying, I am the good shepherd, right? That beautiful image are among the most important things that we have anywhere in all of the Bible. In fact, today in our John text, John chapter 10, Jesus uses the word sheep or shepherd 17 times in 18 verses. 17 times in 18 verses. Normally, if you use one word 17 times in that short of time, people will wonder if you know what you're talking about a little bit. They may start to worry about your health. But that's not the case here. Jesus is trying to make an emphatic point. He's repeatedly reminding us over and over again that the good shepherd cares for his sheep. In fact, he even goes so far as to say this, the good shepherd, I am the good shepherd, and I lay my life down for my sheep, which is supposed to make us think of Good Friday, when Jesus goes to the cross on behalf of the whole world, and on Easter Sunday, when he rises from the tomb. In other words, Jesus wants to be our shepherd, and he wants to guide our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's a problem with that, though. And you know what it is? We 21st century people, I think particularly when we're young, we have so many things competing to guide our lives. There are so many things out there hoping to get your attention. And our culture gives us some really, I think, dangerous messages sometimes. It tells us that we should follow ourselves, our own desires, and that we can will our own outcomes. That if we can dream it, we can be it. If we can be it, we can will it. And if we can will it, we can force that will upon other people. We see this in our culture, in the press, in the news. We see it in every commercial that you watch. It's at the beginning of end of every sponsored clip you watch, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, what else is there? Instagram Reels, wherever there are people out there trying to promote something, that is the image that they are promoting. In other words, confirmation class of 2026. There are things out there that are competing for your minds and your souls, and not all of them are good. And that really is the truth. There's a guy that you guys have never heard of, or maybe you have, that I really admire, named David Brooks. And he's a writer. He's written lots of really good books. And he writes newspaper columns every single week. And he wrote a column 7 years ago when you guys were like six or seven, called this, Five Lies Our Culture Teaches. And here are the five lies that he laid out. And remember, this was back in 2019, right before everything with COVID. Number one, career success is fulfilling success. In other words, like your job should define the health of your soul, right? Number two, I can make myself happy. Number three, life is an individual journey. In other words, you don't need help from anybody along the way. Number four, you have to find your own truth. And number five, rich and successful people are worth more than poor and less successful people. And I think that is all in our culture still today. Now, don't get me wrong, White Memorial, people online, people in the gym, confirmation class, we want you to have career success. We want you to take the gifts that God has given to you and provide for yourselves and your families and to contribute something in the world. We pray that for every one of you as you become an adult. Only here's the thing, whatever that job is, it's never going to love you back. Genevieve and I love our jobs. Lee and Kate, we love our jobs. We love working in a church, right? But let me assure you, these walls never love us back. Like, I spend a lot of time in meetings about facilities. We have to have the facilities so we can be here, so we can love each other. The people love you back, not the work. Not the work. Even, doctors and nurses will tell you that. The people love you back. It's never just about the work. Here's how Brooks concludes his article. And I want you to listen to this really closely, guys, okay? The message is this, that you are what you accomplish. And the false promise is that you can earn dignity and power by attaching yourself to prestigious brands. The emotion of our age is conditional love. Do you know what that means? Conditional love? You know what that means? That means I'm going to love you if you do something for me. And what Jesus gives us and what our families give us is unconditional love. I'm going to love you back no matter what. Right? No matter what, that's what Jesus says. The emotion is conditional love, that if you perform well enough, people will love you better. the anthropology, that's our understanding of ourselves, is that you are not a soul to be saved, but a set of skills to be maximized. And then he writes this, no wonder it's hard to be a young adult today. No wonder our society is fragmenting. Confirmation class, this culture is putting a lot on you. It is. It's sending you all sorts of messages. And like I said, not all of them good. You know, I think he was dead on. I have three young adult children. They have hundreds of young adult friends. Most of them are struggling out there, guys. We have to find, for this group of 14-year-olds and for the 24-year-olds and the people approaching 30, like we have to be a safe place for them right now, where we are giving them messages that their value isn't simply what they can produce or how they look, right? Because you guys are being bombarded all the time, right? I don't know that I could have imagined this world when I was 14 in 1985 in Louisiana, right? I'm 54 now. Can anybody imagine what their world's going to be like when they're 54? Right? I don't know what's coming, okay? But I do know this, that for 2,000 years, we have this Lord who has laid a claim on your lives, a Lord that today you're going to say, I'm going to do my best to try and follow, and a Lord who has endured for 2,000 years, who will be there for you 54 years from now. Does that make sense, ladies and gentlemen? Does that make sense, church? Amen? Amen. All that stuff, it's needless to say, the Bible is going in the complete opposite direction to that. It's telling you over and over again that we belong to God and that Jesus wants to be our shepherd. And the great part about being an adult or becoming a grown-up, guys, is you get to choose who and what you follow, right? We can't make you go to school anymore at some point, right? I hope you like school. I love school, but like those requirements go away. You get to choose who you want to follow. I mean, you do have to pay taxes and stuff, but other than that, you get to choose who and what you want to follow. And not all the things that are calling us to follow them are good things. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? All the while, Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherds. So, confirmation class, let me say this. I want you to remember, if you can, one verse from what I read today. And it's easy to remember where to find it. I want you to say John 10:10. John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10:10. Where Jesus says this. The thief comes to steal and destroy, but I came to give you life and life abundant. What's an abundance? Do y'all know what that is? Abundance is what? A lot. It's more than you need, right? It's more than adequate. You know, Jesus could have said, the thief comes to kill and destroy, but I came to give them life and life adequate. But that's not what he says. He says abundance. We're not talking about like cold scrambled eggs on a plate. That'll feed you, right? But it's not a big giant omelet that just came off the Skittle or whatever your favorite food is. Right? It's abundant. I came that you will have life and life abundant. Always remember that Jesus is a safe place for you. And when you want to come home, he'll be there for you. He says, I am the good shepherd. I open the gate so the sheep can find their safe place. Friends, we are all the sheep of his pasture. Whether you were baptized this morning, we had four little girls, like seven and under, baptized this morning at 9:30. Whether it's your confirmation day, whether you were baptized 80 years ago, or like those little girls 25, 30 minutes ago, Jesus is always like a home base. And I promise you, as long as I'm here, Kate, Lee, Genevieve, Pastor Austin, wherever he is today, all the people, Bailey, Paige is over there somewhere, right? All of us will be here for you as long as we're here, because we follow the one that is our shepherd, because we all decided a long time ago that it was the safest and best place we could be. Like I told you when I taught the class, do you remember that? It's been a privilege to watch you grow up. I've been here 14 years. How old are you guys? 14. You mean a lot to us. And you get to pick, guys. You get to pick what you want to believe in and trust. And I pray you make good choices. And I pray you'll trust the Lord. Amen. I hope that everyone enjoyed that final hymn. I think it's a perfect hymn when a group of young people have joined the church. And we pray that Christ surrounds them all the time. And that's our prayer, too. That hymn has so many influences. It's got imagery from famous prayers and beautiful scriptures. And I said at the early service that it's a waltz. It's actually in 6-8. I looked it up. And 6-8 can be a waltz because it's double time, basically. It's like a double waltz. And when we were in there, I can't see the children this morning, but the little kids were just sort of dancing. Like, there's just some things that God does us that make our hearts move and make us want to move our bodies because they're good for us. And by gosh, we know it. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, and he was, and he is, and he always will be. And as you go out into the world, I suggest that you commit yourself to following ones like him who open gates and lead us to safe places. The way the psalm says it, green pastures and still waters. I pray that for you this week, that you find them and find them abundant, because God has called us to live and live abundantly through and in the grace of our Lord. Peace be with you until we meet again. God's blessings. Amen.